Imagine learning in a small group, intimate setting while exploring unique European locations. EU VetCE Experiences offers race-approved CE seminars that combine half-day lectures with time to relax and discover captivating cultures. The CE sessions are delivered in English, allowing you to elevate your career while vacationing with loved ones. Experience the perfect blend of learning and luxury at EU VetCE Experiences interactive seminars in hand-picked European destinations. Elevate your knowledge and recharge simultaneously. Visit euveterinaryce.com to learn more.
It can become overwhelming. You're trying to practice medicine, but at the same time, at the end of the day, you're running a business.
That was Dr. Austin Bach, a veterinarian, practice owner in Jackson, Missouri. Practice ownership has a lot of advantages, which Dr. Bach will talk about later in this episode, but it can also have a lot of challenges, especially financially. And I have also wondered if owning a veterinary practice is even possible anymore.
I have good news, because it absolutely is, and there are people to help support you if that's your dream. Caitlin Niermeyer is a great example. Caitlin leads a veterinary-specific financial support program at the First State Community Bank in Missouri. She knows the value of veterinarians to the community because it personally impacts her, coming from a farming family. She speaks of her family veterinarian fondly.
He takes so much care of just us as people as well as our animals.
Isn't it great to know that bankers are not the evil villains we see in the movies? I brought Caitlin to talk more about the program, as well as a veterinarian practice owner, Dr. Austin Bach, who advises the board at the bank on how to make the most helpful program to veterinary professionals. Dr. Bach also talks about why he decided to be a practice owner. But first, here's Caitlin from the First State Community Bank.
I'm really excited. This is going to be a little bit different of an episode to talk about a really unique program that is specifically for veterinarians and helping them create a career that they really want to do that is especially extra challenging these days to own your own practice and financially support what you want to do in practice. So do you mind telling us the story about finding this particular need and how the program started?
Right. No, and the program itself and how it became something, I think really shows the true character of First State Community Bank. It really goes hand in hand with our agriculture program. We hold agriculture advisory board meetings every couple months or so. And last year, our president and chief operating officer, John Dinkler, and our chief lending officer, Craig Sutherland, they began discussing challenges within our markets. We are a very rural Missouri bank. A lot of our bank branches are located in rural Missouri. And so they began kind of talking about what challenges we think our markets are facing, and is there any way that we can help? During some of those discussions, one thing that was brought up was the shortage of rural veterinarians across our footprint and across the state of Missouri, not just Missouri, really everywhere, but Missouri's, you know, is our main focus. The conversation, you know, kind of started rolling about how it was hard just to get financing. One, because all the money that veterinarians usually have is spent on, you know, their education. You've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and even more hours getting your education. So you don't have the, you know, extra funds laying around to obtain financing, or you don't show that anywhere that you do have that. And so John kind of challenged the board to come up with an idea or any way we could possibly help. The entire board was able to develop this program. So this program is used to help young veterinarians, new veterinarians, older, retired, across the entire board, obtain financing to purchase into clinics, to buy somebody's part out, purchase inventory, equipment, and everything like that. So right now the terms on it is, for this program, we will actually finance 90% of all the real estate involved. So only basically bringing in 10% down for a real estate purchase, which is huge. A lot of normal banks and traditional financing, you're required, you know, 20, 30% down, and there's just a lot more that goes into it. While, you know, we we are looking at the education as a down payment, because when you have that education, you are in it, you love it, and you know you want to put your entire life and your career into it. And so that is our program. That's how it was funded. And we also do 100% financing on all equipment, inventory, supplies, anything you need to get the ball rolling, to get the clinic up and going, to you know start one, to buy in, anything like that. So that's really how this program came about. It started in actually early 2021, and it was lifted off the ground about midway through 21. So we've done a handful of loans right now. One is actually, you know, Austin Bach, who he's a part of the Jackson Vet Clinic there in Jackson, Missouri, and he's also a board member for our Jackson market. And he was one of the very first few that he utilized it, and obviously he's been a big supporter ever since.
Yeah, and I'm excited to talk to him as well about his experience and how it's helped him and his career. And I also want to thank you. It feels wonderful to have a team to really support you and see the value that you can bring. Mm-hmm. And also help us be competitive in the market. I have friends myself who have really struggled to try to purchase a practice. It's becoming extremely competitive because of corporations that are starting to buy practices and build practices. So can you elaborate maybe on how this might help a veterinarian become a little bit more competitive and be able to be a practice owner?
Right. Basically having those financing options there. Like I said, we are looking at your education as your down payment. Getting into a vet clinic, like I said, you don't have a lot of money behind you because you have spent so much on your education, which is great. I mean, and it's going to help you long term. And that is, you know, where your mind is and your life and your heart is. To be more competitive, like I said, we're offering that 90% financing on all the real estate. So you only have to come up with 10% down, whether that be sweat equity or just simply you have an extra 10% laying around or something we can do to help you with that 10%. So that'll make it easier for you to go to a clinic owner, or if you're currently working in the clinic, you know, you can say, I have all this money right now. You know, First State Community Bank is going to help me, you know, do this program and get through this with everything we both need. You know, you can work on a fair price that way. And the same with, you know, the inventory and the machinery and things like that. It's easier. You know, a lot of, again, traditional financing, they want the 10, 15, 20% down. Well, when you've already put 20% down towards your real estate and you have to have another 20% for, you know, just to get things up and operational, that's hard. You know, that's just a lot of extra money that comes into play. And as well as, you know, our program, we cover all the closing costs. So that would include, you know, any evaluations that we have to do to determine values, appraisals, title work, or anything that could come up in the closing costs. We cover all of that. So that's, you know, thousands of dollars back in your pocket that you can put right back into your purchase or anything like that.
As a person who's also looking in the home real estate, that sounds amazing. So tell us a little bit about your story. Like, how did you become part of this program? What excited you about this?
It's really weird how they all fit together. So I grew up on a family farm in Bowling Green. I love farming. I love agriculture. And I couldn't tell you the amount of times that we would have to call our local vet to come out. I mean, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning for our cattle. I kind of told you a story about, you know, our own dog. You know, he messes with our cattle all the time, but he's always there to help me with our, you know, our family dog. So when I got into First State Community Bank about 6 months ago as the head of agriculture lending, and they talked about this program a little bit. And I told them, I said, what is ag and veterinarian have to do? You know, how am I going to mold this together? And then I went back home and I was kind of telling my dad about it. And he said, that's awesome. He said, think about, you know, how many times Doc Hudson comes out here, which is our local veterinarian. And he said, what would we do if he wasn't here? And I said, well, I don't know. What would we do? And so that's where, you know, everything just kind of came to light. And it's like, okay, you know, these go hand in hand. You know, whether it's coming out to mess with our cattle, you know, calling him when my dog had her very first seizure and what do we do? You know, he is a large animal, but he takes so much care of just us as people, as well as our animals. And so just thinking about what would we do without him, you know, if he's a very rural vet, you know, he owns a vet clinic in a very small town. And if he wasn't there, where would we go? You know, the next place we would go is a larger corporation. And we don't know if they would come out at 2-3 o'clock in the morning or answer their phone call to, you know, the daughter of their farmer that they work with all the time, and what they would do with that. So that's kind of how the program all kind of came to light for me. And then, you know, once I came on board with First State Community Bank, we talked about a little bit more on how to really grow this, because we do need, you know, rural vets. We need vets everywhere, because they're important to everybody, whether you just have a cat or if you have cattle, no matter what it is, they're the ones that you call when you don't know who else to call. So that was kind of my story and how I got into this. And now it's just kind of, you know, leading the project a little bit to figure out how to spread the word on this, because this program is very unique and it's not one you see really anywhere else. And so it's something that I want people to see and I want people to know about, so we can continue to help people along the way.
Yeah. Speaking on how someone might reach out, how do they start? So if somebody says, this sounds amazing, I would love to look into getting some financial support, what would be the first action they would need to take?
The best way would be to kind of check out our program on our website at firststatecommunitybank.com. We would be able, you know, you can look through everything, see what, you know, if there's any additional questions that can be answered through that. But the fastest and quickest way is just to give me a call. You know, I am happy to answer the call at any time, any day, just to try and answer some of the questions and kind of, you know, make it a little bit more clear. Cause I know in the financing world, it can be very complicated. You don't really know left from right when it comes to financing. And so giving me a call or just even shooting me a text or an email, you know, I would be happy to help.
We would like to thank our sponsor, VetBadger, the all-in-one practice management software that puts relationships first. Created by working veterinary parents, VetBadger provides all the communication, team workflow, and medical management tools you need to run an efficient practice and get home to the relationships that matter most. In support of parents in VetMed, VetBadger will be offering a signed copy of the book, Pregnancy and Postpartum Considerations for the Veterinary Team, by Emily Singler, to everyone who registers for a demo between Mother's Day, May 12th, and Father's Day, June 16th. To register, visit vetbadger.com and find the link in the description below.
That's awesome. So do you also mind sharing, since it is a little complicated and intimidating sometimes, what would someone expect? Like, can you kind of talk more about what to expect when working through some type of financial service?
Right. So this program, or really any program, even if you're trying to buy a car, a home, but for this program, you would kind of look into gathering some of your tax returns. If you're a student, obviously that's going to be hard because you may not have had the opportunity to file any tax returns in the last few years. If you have filed tax returns, at least gathering 3 years of your tax returns, if you're able, a balance sheet or a personal financial statement. Basically, that is telling us your story. So, you know, what you have in assets, being cash, real estate, cars, anything like that, as well as your liabilities. So whatever you owe to somebody else, a bank, anything like that, that's just kind of showing us where you stand to show that, okay, we are not going to put you in a bind by doing this program. You know, that's the last thing we want to do is say, yep, you can buy it, and then 6 months later you were underwater and you really couldn't do it. You know, we will do everything we can before we say, nope, we're not going to do this. That's really the start of it. Obviously, we have a loan application that we will walk through and kind of show all the ins and outs of what it is, you know, pulling credit and things like that.
As intimidating as it may seem, I always encourage, it never hurts to ask. I think that's great to have somebody like yourself who can walk you through and being completely transparent. Even if you're right out of school and looking for some financial support without a whole lot of equity or anything like that. One thing that I really like about this program is that you help everyone, but it sounds like, also hearing some kind of previous stories, is this was also to help very young veterinarians. And so that means that you probably don't have a lot of history in taxes or finances. So I love that you're giving that support to really launch early career veterinarians into the direction that they would like to go. And we all know that it takes a village to raise children, but it takes a village to raise veterinarians and just people in general. So thank you for being that support. Dr. Bach, can you tell us a little bit about how you learned of the program to begin with?
I'm a 2012 graduate of MU, and when I graduated, I practiced for a little over a year, and then I bought my practice at 26 years old, and it was very rough, the transition between, you know, the retiring veterinarian and myself. So I used a local bank that we did all our farm work with at that time, and it's not First State, but then I became involved with First State in probably 2017. My brother-in-law took a position there before that, and I sat down with the president of the Jackson branch, Jeff Parker, and at that point, I decided to move my clinic loans and my real estate loan over to First State in Jackson. After about, it was probably a year, then I was invited to be on the bank board at the Jackson branch. So that is where I became involved, when I would meet at the monthly meetings. And then Greg Allen would reach out about, like, would you, you know, could you have some input on things with the veterinary? You know, what could we do to help the profession, starting out vets? And that is kind of how I became familiar with the situation. And then they have kept me in the loop about what, you know, what is good, you know, what could we change. And, you know, I think what they're doing right now is just awesome. If something like that could have been available to me when I was 26 years old, and, you know, I saw that I joined late, but you guys were talking about taxes and things, like, I had no idea, based on, you know, I had a pretty good business background from our farm, you know, and that helped me a lot. But to the point of a veterinary clinic versus a farm, there's a ton of differences. And, you know, I was overwhelmed for the first, you know, year for sure. And these things could have been simplified with a program like this, for sure.
Yes. Well, I'm not too far behind you. I'm a 2014 grad. So, but you are absolutely right that the transition from being vet student into practice, that could have its own conversation in itself. But especially from a financial perspective, it can be extremely overwhelming. So again, I love that we have some new and growing support. And thank you, Dr. Bach, for helping make this program even better, because you get to bring that unique veterinary perspective to it to help it help other veterinarians in the future. So what are some of the things that you've seen? Maybe if you have a story or are able to describe some of the benefits that you've seen for our profession.
The big thing is, like, mentoring, I think, is, like, if you can have a relationship, you know, in vet school, the business side of things, you know, like you just said, 2014, I'm 2012, we really aren't taught the business aspect of things. And when it comes right down to it, hey, get a good lawyer and a good CPA is pretty much what you're told. And that was kind of that. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't know about the banking end of it. That's my biggest deal, is having that relationship with a local, you know, the entire branch. You know, we know everybody's name there. You can call, you know, Jeff, Ronnie, whoever, Andrew, and be like, you know, hey, here's what I've got going on. Can you, you know, how can we help? You know, can you help me with that? And, you know, somebody's always there. That's the relationship with a branch, I think, is a huge plus. The other thing kind of that I was reading through that they could help someone with is, you know, they're going to buy a practice and things are going to look different on paper than the previous owner. And that's difficult because they're going to have payments, and maybe the existing veterinarian or the owners, you know, they had it paid off. So I look at things like income projection, and those are things that would be super advantageous to, for instance, the veterinarian that's currently working for me. She plans to move home in October, and she's going to start her own practice. And these are some things me and her, we discuss probably on a daily basis about more so sometimes business than the veterinary medicine itself, because it can become overwhelming. You're trying to practice medicine, but at the same time, at the end of the day, you're running a business. And I find that, you know, if you don't run it like a business, that was probably the most difficult time of my career. And once I decided to run it like a business, that would be my number one thing, you know, for younger veterinarians. You have to make a profit. It's a, you know, sometimes people tug at our heartstrings and you want to, you know, help everybody and help every animal. I completely sympathize. But if we don't run it like a business, unfortunately, we won't be in business.
Yeah. You have the experience of being a practice owner, and I firmly believe that we have a lot of different opportunities in veterinary medicine. We can do a lot of different wonderful things with our career. So can you maybe describe the ideal person to actually own practice? Because not everybody maybe wants to or should be a practice owner. So what are some unique things about practice ownership that you would kind of enlighten our profession if that's something someone might be considering?
You're exactly right on that one. I think if someone has no desire to be a practice owner, you know, it's something they don't want to do, I would not encourage them to go that route. You know, if they just want to practice medicine, I completely understand, because you're wearing two different hats. That, you know, what, 26 years old, I'll be honest, when I'm the boss of everyone at the clinic at that time that I employed was older than I was. And that was difficult. And you develop the skills and, you know, learn how to, you know, read people, be a good listener, and know your staff well. We have a staff of, there's 9 to 11, and, you know, everybody's different. So I think being understanding and knowing your staff and your people, and that everybody's different. The thing I probably do, you know, some of my clients, I try to, you know, develop friendships with. Sometimes that might get me in a little bit of trouble. You know, they're calling your personal phone, but things like that, just treat folks like family. And those are things that have helped me. I think one thing is, when you're a practice owner, the greatest advantage would be you can run the practice how you would like to. You know, no one's perfect. You know, we're nowhere near perfect, but we do things, you know, I've changed so many things over the years, over, you know, a 10, now my 11th year of practice. You adapt changes. And when you're the business owner, you can do these things, and you can see, as far as, you know, your bank account and things like that go, you know, if it was advantageous. And I do like the fact that, you know, I can control those decisions versus just maybe being an associate. I have said this, like, as far as mentoring, you know, Dr. Fielder that's with us right now, the sole reason I was blessed and she moved to this area, because she's not from this area of the state, is because I promised her mentorship. And that is something where we wrote in the contract, like, I can help you learn from, you know, my mistakes or the things that I went through as a business owner involved in, you know, veterinary medicine at the same time. How can I help you? And I probably enjoy that part, the mentorship and the business side of my business. Like, I enjoy that, you know, just as much as is practicing. And I think being kind of diversified, being able to, you know your books, but then be able to see your clients and practice medicine, I think at the same time, I enjoy the mixture. Some days are good and some days, you know, they fly off the handle pretty quickly. But, you know, I think that as a veterinarian, the longer you practice, those days used to stress me out. And now it's, you know, the longer you do it, it's just, you're ready to roll. So those are things that, just like in the business world, when you see your quarterly taxes get taken out of your account, those are things that, you know, I'm used to now. And you realize that there's not a lot that you can really control about that. And, you know, you budget that in your yearly budget and proceed.
Yeah. And it goes back to having a good support team, whether it is a bank like Caitlin in the program that you run, really surrounding yourself with a good team, because I think that is so essential in our life and our careers, is to
have that support network, whether it's a mentor, like a veterinary mentor who can teach you surgery, can teach you how to manage a practice, but then at the same time, those resources where you can call, like you were saying, Dr. Bach, about a question coming up and just having an individual that you can directly call and say, hey, I have this question or I have this situation. Any last thoughts you have about sharing this with our profession?
You know, I think First State, the being involved, you know, with them now for the last 5 years or so, I think, you know, they understand that every situation is probably going to be unique when it comes down to every practice. You know, I'm close friends with, you know, colleagues in the area who have practiced, and all these situations are different. You know, if you're buying a practice from an individual who's slowed down, you know, the book work is, you know, it's going to look different than if you're buying an existing 3-doctor practice that is booming. I mean, and I think that the First State and the way they operate will be very helpful in understanding how to look at those numbers and come up with, you know, a fair, you know, offer for the business owner and then for the purchaser. And the big thing, you know, once you become involved, they can really handle so many things. Instead of having 5 or 6 different people, you could really use First State as, you know, your sole go-to on your, of course, your loans, but your operating account. And, you know, like right now they're going through my insurance forms on my business and things, and they can do all of those things for you. I think that's the biggest key is just, you know, every situation's unique. And I think they understand that as a business.
And just exactly what he was saying, First State is, we want to be a partner with everybody. We don't want to be, you know, have a thumb over you or anything like that. We are always here to help. You know, back in the day, I think we talked about this in our first meeting. Back in the day, banks used to people would look at banks and say, I don't want them to know anything. I want them to, you know, arm's length away. You always keep your banker arm's length away. That's not how it is anymore. You know, a lot of this younger generation and people are starting to learn that banking is a resource. You know, while I'm not a veterinarian and I don't have that education, I do understand, you know, the need for it. And I understand, you know, why we need to help and why we should be involved. And, you know, and just like Dr. Bach was saying, we do all of that. You know, we can look through insurance, we can reconcile your accounts, we can offer all these different programs to help the clinic do better, you know, whether through checking accounts, you know, POS system, things like that. It's all across the board what a bank can do and can offer. And so we want to keep being a resource and not being kept arm's length away. You know, the more communication we have, the better off everybody is. Like I said, we always want to be a resource. We never want to, you know, we never want to cause harm or put anybody under for whatever reason. We want to be the helping hand. We want to be a friend first and customer second.
Yes, no more evil banker from the movie.
Yeah, no.
We are all friends.
Yeah, we're not doing that anymore.
Speaking of the image of bankers in movies, Caitlin Lader actually told me that one movie scene inspired her to go into banking. And it's from the movie It's a Wonderful Life, when George is trying to tell his father that he doesn't want to go home and work at the Bailey Building and loan after college and be stuck in an office.
I feel that in a small way, we are doing something important. It's satisfying a fundamental urge. It's deep in the race for a man to want his own roof, walls, and fireplace. And we're helping him get those things in our shabby little office.
She actually tweaked the quote a little bit to apply to herself, representing agriculture. It's deep in the race for a man to want his own farm and cattle and machinery, and we're helping him get those things in our shabby little office. She has this printed out and taped to her computer to look at every morning to remind her why she does what she does.